Okay, Allison, I'm going to need you to match my energy. Welcome back, everybody, to Tim and Eric. We do the Bible with friends, and one of our friends is Allison, and she was so sick, and now she's feeling better, and today is Monday. That's the name of the podcast.
I feel like you're not matching my energy. I think I was very clear. I need you to match that energy.
I don't even know where to go with that, but I am matching your energy.
No, you're not matching my energy, but we both sound stupid, so there's that. That's cool. We did like a thing where we both sounded stupid.
No. Yeah, well, maybe. Today, speaking of sounding stupid, guess what today is?
Monday.
99.
There was a restaurant chain in Massachusetts called the 99.
What kind of food did they serve?
Chili's, Applebee's, all of that.
What was it called?
The 99. The 99 restaurants, 99 reasons you always come back for more. Chip and Eric and friend.
Da-na-na.
99 days of stuff that you love, and we read the Bible, and Josh Pugh read the worst chapter ever.
And I didn't have to.
Ta-da-da.
99
days. I'm excited, guys. 99?
I mean, we're...
if you round up, that's like 100.
Yeah. There's no other way you can round.
You round down. To zero. We've done no days.
No, you can't.
Ever.
You can't round down. That's not how rounding works.
You don't know.
I know
you're
that.
You're a literaturologist.
I know that. I know you don't round a nine up to down to a zero.
You don't know what I do.
Well, I know you're not supposed to. So it's day 99, and we're going to read First Samuel 1 through 3.
I break all the rules.
Mark 4. He's not letting it go. Mark 4, 21 through 41.
That was one of the rules I broke. Establishment of Samuel's leadership. Is that your heading?
Nope.
Samuel and the word of the Lord. Is that your heading?
No.
The birth and dedication of Samuel.
None of these things. What are you get? Where are you reading?
Samuel 1.
Mine is Elkanah and his family.
Elkanah and his family.
Here we go.
That's not in my Bible. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph in the hill country of Ephraim. He was a son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at the time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give proportions of meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would only give her one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? I know someone who said that to a Hannah. Once, after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips move but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. When they returned home to Ramah, when Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently." "Whatever you think is best," Elkanah agreed. "Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise." So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there.
1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah's prayer of praise. Then Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows what you have done. He will judge your actions. The bow of the mighty is now broken, and those who stumbled are now strong. Those who were well fed are now starving, and those who were starving are now full. The childless woman now has 7 children, and the woman with many children wastes away. The Lord gives both death and life. He brings some down to the grave, but raises others up. The Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings some down and lifts others up. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. For all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order. He will protect his faithful ones, but the wicked will disappear in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. Those who fight against the Lord will be shattered. He thunders against them from heaven. The Lord judges throughout the earth. He gives power to his kings. He increases the strength of his anointed one. Then Elkanah returned home to Ramah without Samuel, and the boys served the Lord by assisting Eli the priest.
Corruption in the priestly house of Eli. Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests. Whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, Eli's sons would send over a servant with a 3-pronged fork. While the meat of the sacrificial animal was still boiling, the servant would stick the fork in the pot and demand that whatever it brought up is to be given to Eli's sons. All the Israelites who came to worship at Shiloh were treated this way. Sometimes the servant would come even before the animal's fat had been burned on the altar. He would demand raw meat before it had been boiled so that it could be used for roasting. The man offering the sacrifice might reply, "Take as much as you want, but the fat must be burned first." Then the servant would demand, "No, give it to me now, or else I'll take it by force." So the sin of these young men was very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offering with contempt. But Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He wore a linen garment like that of a priest. Each year his mother made a small coat for him and brought it to him when she came with her husband for the sacrifice. Before they returned home, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you other children to take the place of this one she gave to the Lord." And the Lord blessed Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. Eli said to them, "I've been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you're doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good. If someone sins against another person, God can mediate for the guilty party. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede?" But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father, for the Lord was already planning to put them to death. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with the people. One day, was that it?
I have a heading.
Okay, go ahead. Yep, no, it's good.
A warning for Eli's family. One day a man of God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. "I revealed myself to your ancestors when they were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly vest as he served me. And I assign the sacrificial offerings to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? for you, and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people Israel. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. The time is coming when I will put an end to your family, so it will no longer serve as my priest. All the members of your family will die before their time. None will reach old age. You will watch with envy as I pour out prosperity on the people of Israel, but no members of your family will ever live out their days. The few not cut off from serving at my altar will survive, but only so their eyes can go blind and their hearts break, and their children will die a violent death. And to prove that what I have said will come true, I will cause your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, thank you, to die on the same day. Then I will raise up a faithful priest who will serve me and do what I desire. I will establish his family, and they will be priests in my anointed kings forever. Then all of your surviving family will bow before him, begging for money and food. Please, they will say, give us jobs among the priests so we will have enough to eat.
1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel's call to God's service. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel! Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel! And Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, Speak, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings.
Samuel speaks for the Lord. Samuel stayed in bed until morning and then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks is best. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle, and Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel.
Okie dokie. Here we go, jumping forward to Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 41. Parable of the lamp. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them.
Parable of the growing seed. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, and then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come.
Parable of the mustard seed. Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade.
Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them.
Jesus calms the storm. As the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus on the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat, with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence! Be still!" Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." And that is our reading today.
Oh, sorry.
It's good.
That's our reading today.
That is our reading today. My battery is very low on my phone, so it's mad.
Okay. I thought it maybe wasn't recording, so I got
bored. I think it's recording.
Okay.
Got all that coughing. Recorded every ounce of it. Hey, we read that reading with two questions in mind. Mm-hmm. The first one, of course, being, how does this help me love God more? Mm-hmm. The second one, how does this help me love others more? Mm-hmm. So, Allison, what you going to do here?
I think I'm going to go with, how does this help me love God more?
Okay.
So, I'm going to kind of go after Eli here. Because
you get him.
I am.
Good.
So, I feel like we kind of got to see two parents in that scenario that really stood out to me. And the first one, obviously, being Hannah. And I had written down pouring out her heart in prayer, pouring out her heart to God. She was kind of she was as low as she could get. I mean, she was feeling as bad as she could feel.
Yeah.
Nothing, like, I have nothing. And was pouring out her heart to God. And God answered her prayer. And she did exactly what she said she would do. She gave, you know, took Samuel back and, Here's my son. And then we shift straight over to Eli and his sons. And in this situation, his sons are being absolutely awful. Like the nerve that they have to totally do with whatever they wanted with the sacrifices and be adamant that they get what they wanted from it, get fat off of these sacrifices. And, you know, it's like this to God, like, you're not taking from another you're taking directly from the sacrifices.
This is what Eli said, you know, like, you're not sitting against a person.
Right. But Eli comes and he, I feel like it almost feels like a slap on the wrist. Like, no, boys, don't do that. And then, you know, God even said he hasn't disciplined them. Eli hasn't disciplined them.
Yep.
And it says he was aware. Eli was aware of what was going on with his sons. And yeah, he went and told them, no, don't do this anymore. This is not good. But what else could he have done? Could he have removed them from their job? Could he have said, hey, you don't get to work in here anymore because you can't handle it? But he didn't do any of those things. And then when God told Eli or Samuel the message to take back to him, he didn't repent. He said, well, God says it's so. Not, God, I'm so sorry.
Right.
You don't see anywhere in there where he repents.
Nope.
And we see over and over again in scripture where people repent and God gives them another chance. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. But Eli's like, well, you know, so I guess what I'm getting at is, we see a very passive way of loving God. And then we see like this very active way of loving God. And Hannah goes, she just pours her heart out in prayer. Here's my child. You got, you know, I'm worshiping you. We see, read her whole prayer of praise.
Right.
And then we go and we see this passive, well, my kids are not doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Guys, don't do that.
And we're seeing those things. The example of real true devotion to God and really shallow, useless devotion to God. From roles that should be switched, right?
Right.
Like, the down and out woman should be the one.
Should be the one that's like,
the barren woman who's like, okay, well, what's God done for me lately?
Right.
You know, and the priest.
Right.
Who is the stand between for God and the nation. He should have a solid understanding.
And it's interesting. I know it doesn't always play out this way in parenting, biblical parenting. I know that there are many, many cases where people do their best and their kids, it doesn't, I'm not saying, but in this scenario, we see that. We see this, you know, how many times did Samuel probably watch his mom pour her heart out to God, right? Before you set an example for your child. And Eli, what kind of example did he set by just being like, guys, no.
Yeah.
Not good.
And I like what you said too, though, that like there's individual culpability too, because the deal is Eli did most of the raising for Samuel, right? He lived with him. So like, yeah, Samuel had this example once a year of his mom who's so devoted and so, and he knows the story of his origin. I mean, I think Samuel wrote this book. So he knows the story of his origin and like all that. But he determined that he was, I just love, I think I pointed it out last year, Samuel sleeps right next to the Ark of the Covenant. Like, of course he's doing well. You know, like he's right there.
Yeah.
Sleeping at God's feet. Cause, you know, elsewhere in scripture, it says that the place of atonement, which is the lid of the ark between the two cherubim, is God's footstool. So he's like sleeping at the feet of God, you know?
Yeah.
Which is pretty neat. Yeah. So, but yeah, there's a lot of, there's a lot in there.
It's just, it really shows God does not want us to be passive in our way, our the way we show our love to him, the way we react, the way we respond, the way we behave. He wants to see it.
No matter what our station in life is, no matter what life has dealt us, that's what he's looking for. I love that. Okay, so how can this help me love others more? Here's a rhetorical question. Would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not, right? Man, well, what's Jesus referring to here? He's talking about us. He's talking about us and how we are the light. He's given us this responsibility of being the light to the world. And you may think, yeah, but like how much light can I really bring into the world? And the reality is a lot, you know, a lot. And if you're like, yeah, I'm kind of dim light though, I'm not really, let me tell you the answer. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given. And you will receive even more. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little they understand, what little they have will be taken away from them. What little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So what's he talking about here? He's, you guys are doing it. He's talking about the truth about God. And if you pay close attention to the teaching of the truth about God, which I'm not talking about me or Allison or Chip or anyone else. I'm talking about the scriptures themselves. If you pay close attention to the scriptures and don't just leave them as a dusty book on your shelf, then you'll understand more and more and more. And I think some of you have done this Bible reading thing long enough that you're seeing that.
Yes.
Whether you've been doing it for decades, like I know my mom, literally for decades, my dad, decades of reading the Bible, right? Like I know that. And so like that understanding has been added to them. But I guarantee you, my mom, even at her age, you know, 40 years old, and she would, if she put down the Bible, she would lose that understanding.
You know? Yes.
So also my mom was 40. That's what I said. I'm a good son. But so I just think, man, if you want to be a real light to the world, which by the way, is how we can love God more and how we can love others more. Of course, they always go hand in hand. The world needs light. God has sent us to be his ambassadors and his light to the world. If you want to be able to really broadcast light, you need to understand truth. And to understand truth, you got to be in the Word of God. And the moment you stop and you put it away and you stop focusing on it, for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them.
Yeah.
So I think that this is a really encouraging thing for those of you who go, I'm doing it. I don't really get it.
Yes.
But I'm doing it.
Yes.
Jesus acknowledges that there is that phase of I'm reading, but I don't really get it.
Because there's so much to take in at once.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's something you chip away at. And like you said, God gives you more understanding as you go.
Yeah. And it's really cool to see. Little by little, the lines start to connect.
Yes.
And you start to understand and see the bigger picture. And so I think it's really, truly, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, a true honor to be part of that journey for you guys. Like, that is so cool. And it transitions very well into talking about the contest or the mm-hmm. challenge. That's what it is. I couldn't think of the word. The challenge that we have going on. Read every day.
Every day.
Read every day. And mark it on your little calendar and keep track of it. And then turn that in through a picture.
Yeah, you could just share the picture on Facebook.
I'm only accepting it in certified USPS mail.
That has been notarized.
Yeah, it needs to be notarized also. That's true.
It's yep. really the only fair way.
And your check for $150 made out to me.
Just to you.
Yeah.
Not to Chip and Eric and friends. No. Who's one time their friends at Allison. That's the name of the podcast.
Nope.
Okay.
No. But on the memo line, actually, you can write whatever you want.
Actually, should make it out to the city of Newton so we can pay for our hot air balloon parking.
It's not my hot air balloon. So, anyway.
Who figured it
out last? Still not mine. It's like borrowing a car and getting a parking ticket. It's not your problem. That person shouldn't have loaned you a car. You don't even know what to say right now. You just have no idea.
Don't be like Eli's sons.
Yeah.
Don't be wicked.
Crazy. So I love the parables and the parabolic discourse here in Mark. Very cool. It shows a lot of really neat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get into the word every single day.
Yep.
And you could win. Would you say the?
I don't know. We haven't decided that yet. We're gonna have to decide. We're gonna have to figure it out.
I see.
I mean, it could be the hot air balloon. That could be how I get rid of it.
Oh my goodness, that would be amazing. You some know, of you guys.
Then it won't be my problem.
Cannot anymore. Be trusted. Hi, Phoebe.
Daddy.
Yes.
Can I please have one of those fruit punch peeps?
Can you please have a fruit? Can you ask that again, Phoebe? Hang on. What'd you ask?
Can I please have one of those fruit punch peeps?
You want a fruit punch peep? Yeah, you can have one when we're done reading. Hey, do you like reading the Bible? Did you read the Bible last night at bedtime?
Yes.
What story did you read?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? What's your favorite Bible story?
Mary and Joseph.
You do like that one. Mary and Joseph. You do love that.
That's a good one.
Okay. Well, we're going to go.
All right.
We've got to get these fruit punch peeps into my kids.
Yes.
Read every day.
Love you guys.
Or you're grounded.
You're grounded.
Dad.
What? Look what I found. Oh, my goodness. Ray Bork, the greatest ruin of all time.
I live in the library at school.
I love it. Okay. This is getting crazy, but goodbye.